This is episode 333 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, May the 23rd, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McColm and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. If you've ever needed any proof that the delivery of content was going to move from the airwaves to the internet, then what all TV execs fear looks like a reality in the United States. Netflix, the US-based video streaming company, is now the single largest source of peak downstream internet traffic in the United States, according to a new report by Sandvine, with the streaming video service now accounting for just 29.7% of peak downstream traffic in the US. This is a rise of 21% in the last 9 months. Netflix is now on top of the pile, even above your standard website, which has 18% of traffic. BitTorrent has 11% and YouTube has just 10% as a source of downstream traffic during peak times in North America. So it seems that those living in North America are certainly giving the internet connection a workout when it comes to delivery of streaming content. But is this giving the traditional broadcasters a run for their money? If Australia is anything to go by, which it probably isn't, broadcasters here have a habit of pushing people to getting their entertainment by other forms of media, albeit the internet, friends, or libraries, because of the blatant disregard they seem to have for viewers. Back to the US as a whole, real-time entertainment, which is video streaming mostly, but also includes streaming music, accounted for 49% of downstream traffic in March 2011, with alternate sources such as peer-to-peer file sharing at 19% and 17% for web browsing. It's worth keeping in mind that video files are large, and it doesn't take much for it to take over in terms of bandwidth consumed. But these numbers definitively point to a future where video accounts for more and more of the traffic on the internet. As recently as last November, web video alone accounted for an estimated 37% of internet traffic. So as with these trends in North America, it won't be long until we see similar patterns emerge here in Australia. The rollout of the national broadband network will only make data flows of this kind all the more easy. So it won't be long until the drive to the local video library will be a thing of the past.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Twitter revokes automatic third-party direct message access. Angry Birds tops 200 million downloads. Optus fined $178,000 for soft cap plans. Android OS 3.1 is out. Apple's refusing support for Mac malware cleanup. Credit card fraud is now 57 cents for every $1,000. Poor Sony are under attack again, with hackers breaching their password reset system. And Adam Turner joins us live in the studio this week. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, an Australian journalist is arrested for reporting on a security seminar at AusCert, social networking site LinkedIn, valued at $9 billion. The NBN reaches mainland Australia, and things go from bad to worse for Sony. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The deputy technology editor of the Herald website was arrested last week by Queensland Police after writing an article about vulnerabilities in Facebook privacy settings. Respected IT journalist Mr. Ben Grubb attended the AusCert conference on the Gold Coast, where a security expert demonstrated how he could gain access to the Facebook photos of an associate who also worked in online security. The security expert, Mr. Christian Heinrich, told Fairfax Digital he had gained access to the photos to show people who use social networking that they shouldn't trust their privacy settings. Mr. Grubb then published the article on the 17th of May. Later that day, Mr. Grubb was contacted by Queensland Police. Mr. Grubb was asked to assist with police inquiries in relation to a reported incident in which a Facebook account had allegedly been accessed. Mr. Grubb was subsequently questioned, then arrested, then had his iPad seized as evidence. Mr. Grubb was then released without charge. Fairfax Media and the Journalists' Union both condemned the arrest as an unwarranted attack on a reporter's right to do his job. Mr. Chris Warren from the Media Entertainment and Arts Alliance said that the seizure of the journalist's iPad should have been done differently.
They want to see what's inside the property of the journalist, that is inside the iPad. Then they should go and get a subpoena.
Mr. Terry O'Gorman from the Queensland Council of Civil Liberties agreed that Queensland police had overstepped the mark.
To arrest Mr. Grubb because he was at a conference in relation to a story that he had written that day that he spoke about at the conference is heavy-handed, overkill, and the sort of just ham-fisted policing that we saw in Queensland in the 70s and 80s.
But Detective Superintendent Brian Hay from the Queensland Police Fraud Squad said that a person could be arrested for a number of reasons.
In the term arrest is different to what it once was. Under the new PPRA powers, we can arrest for question, we can arrest to detain a person for the purpose of the investigation.
Detective Superintendent Hay went on to say that receiving a photograph obtained from a Facebook account without the owner's permission was the equivalent of receiving a stolen television.
Someone breaks into a house and they steal a TV and they give that TV to you and you know that TV is stolen and you apply to your own use. Awesome.
The security expert at the centre of the incident, Mr. Christian Heinrich, told the ABC's PM program that he'd contacted Queensland Police late last week to offer his assistance with the investigation, but that his call had yet to be returned. To other news this week, social networking site LinkedIn has begun trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Bloomberg News says, based on last week's closing price, LinkedIn's market value is now $8.8 billion, or about 23 times this year's revenue to date. While there's concern by industry analysts that some technology shares may be overvalued, technology venture capitalist Mr. Hussein Kanji is optimistic.
Well, I mean, I think there is a lot of enthusiasm for these shares, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for a lot of things that are going on in the tech industry in general. But I think, you know, the good news for us is the fundamentals of these businesses are actually quite solid. I mean, you already see that in the LinkedIn numbers. You know, it's a company that's been cash flow positive for the last couple of years.
LinkedIn is a social network for business professionals and has a reported 100 million users. Last year, in comparison with its new share price, LinkedIn made just $15 million profit. The National Broadband Network has arrived in mainland Australia. The first mainland NBN test site has been commissioned in the country town of Armidale, New South Wales. The launch was hailed by Communications Minister Senator Conroy as a significant milestone in the government's plan to roll out affordable, high-speed broadband across the nation.
Regional Backbone Black Box program is running on time and on budget. We saw the Tasmanian first stage on target and on budget. And while there have been some challenges around some of the rollout spots, Cyclone Yasi's been an issue in Townsville, the NBN is absolutely being delivered and delivering cheap and affordable broadband to the Australians that received it so far.
But the opposition's communications spokesman, Mr. Malcolm Turnbull, said that the NBN could be delivered to places like Armidale for at least half the price.
Our criticism of the NBN is that they are delivering that objective or seeking to deliver that objective in a way that imposes a much higher cost on taxpayers than is necessary. There is a better, faster and much cheaper way of doing it.
Mr. Turnbull went on to say that wireless was not necessarily the answer, but that a fibre-to-the-node solution might be more appropriate. Both iiNet and Internode are participating in the trial, as is Vodafone, offering fixed network services to its customers. And things just seem to go from bad to worse for Sony. The consumer electronics giant alerted customers on Thursday last week to a new intrusion in which virtual points worth $1,225 were stolen from account holders. The latest attack comes after the personal information contained in some 100 million Sony user accounts was stolen last month when the PlayStation Network and music streaming Curiosity services were hacked. Sony says it will be providing identity theft insurance for all users, in addition to a welcome back package for PlayStation Network members. I'm a croaky Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Don't ever say Mac users don't get viruses. Welcome when they come back.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, well, I have pneumonia. That's why. You would too.
Not helping out when you're part of the problem.
No, it's not a problem.
You're out of control.
All.
How many I things have you got?
Should we trust online services with our details?
It would make sense for them to integrate it into products like Office.
Jerry Harvey can still do a laugh for less, I would have thought.
You know that slidey.
But it must have been the funniest thing I've seen all week.
This is infuriating. Sony.
I prefer to give online services as little information about me as possible.
How very dare you?
Oh, well, good luck with it all. See you later.
Yeah, yeah, like, hello.
It's powered by a battery, Andrew.
Exactly.
Yes. Rah.
Here's how to use it. Press 2 for 2, press 7 for 7.
So 7 tuned for 7, 2 for 2, see you later.
Installation.
That's a five-point plan.
It is.
Good.
Lena, would you spend $8.5 billion on something that was making a bit of a loss?
If I was desperate to stay relevant.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
And we finally got there. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb here. Joining me on the panel this evening, three very willing and capable people. The very relevant Lena Van Deventer in the middle there.
Hello.
Hello. Joining us down the camera right is Dr. Graham, proxying this evening.
Hello, Andrew.
Welcome back.
Yes, I'm back.
You are indeed.
Yes.
The Rob Oak shot of the radio station
yes.
is back in the building.
And we've banished Ron for banging on the desks and making noises during
he
the show.
He did a lot of the banging last week, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, unplugging and plugging things and ruining my recordings. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you're sitting at home cringing going, how am I going to get rid of that?
No, I was out of sleep, actually.
Dear. And all the way from the far-flung reaches of the other side of town, Adam Turner. Good evening, Adam.
Evening.
Oh, welcome to the correct side of town.
Yes.
Yeah. Stick there... it up your
Now that's a good start to the program.
Dear. Well, what an interesting week
stick
it's
it up
been.
My armpit.
Yes, starting off really
fun
well,
with
isn't
that
it?
In post.
Well, see, you know.
I will, don't you worry.
Yeah, someone will get hold of a
Andrew,
promos
would you like
too.
To would you like to get a word in edgeways?
Yeah, this man's come all the way from 123 Fake Street on the other side of town, as I was alluding to. In Springfield, yes, exactly. So, how's your PlayStation going, everybody? Have we had a bit of a play yet? I logged in the other night.
Silence.
To
That's
change,
an exasperated sigh.
It was?
Yeah.
It was. I logged in on my PS3 console the other night to find out what freebies I had, and they haven't told us. Well, they've told us you picked 2 or 5 or something.
Yep.
But I'd logged in to see what information, having heard Adam's view from the couch, and discovered that the credit card details they had on file for me were my old card, so I breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So number
did you
no
change
longer
your
valid.
Password?
I changed. Well, it forces you to change your password. Yes. That's been hacked.
Yes.
That's been hacked, but we'll move on.
Have they hacked it so they can get your password? Have they just hacked it so they can trick it into changing the password when it's not your account?
I don't know. So
think,
they can log
I think
in.
They've just made it harder to do it.
Mm. Well, maybe the reason why they did that is because Sony in Greece has also been hacked. The Grecian, if there is such a...
Greek?
The Greek.
No, Grecian is right.
Is yes. it? There you go. Their site has been hacked. And it popped up in the news just today, actually. I think I was surfing around. But they've posted the there dump a, file there or images thereof oh. with people's usernames and files that have been blacked out.
Oh.
So, how true or not that is I guess, anyone's conjecture. Because we believe everything we read on the internet, don't we? So, yeah, poor old Sony Music.gr, I think it was, has gone the way of other Sony Music sites. But anyway, poor old Sony can't win a trick at the moment. So, but yes, Fake Street. There's a lot of people living in Fake Street now. I'm included.
This should be
I've moved
more
in next door.
In Fake Street.
Yes, I'm at 125.
1060 so West Addison's good.
Where?
1060 West Addison's
is
Wrigley
it?
Fields. It's where Elwood Blues lives, according to his driver's license.
Dear. So I think
we
everyone...
can't all move to Fake Street, though. It'll drive the prices up, and then we won't be able to afford it anymore.
True. Someone will cotton onto it real quick, won't they? Where's everyone living in Springfield?
Have to move to Dodgy Crescent around the corner.
In the west.
Yeah, put your exes in there.
You're next.
Oh, here we go.
Making a list.
Here we go. Dear.
Did you notice you didn't get stabbed once coming from the car to the inside the studio?
Yeah, it was surprising
good, huh?
around here too.
Yeah.
dear.
Sorry.
For those of you who are listening from interstate, this is a bit of local rivalry going on with one side of the river to the other. We've got a river that divides our town here, but anyway, that's another story.
It's not just the river that divides the town.
No.
Should we talk about Actually, I've got some. I've got an email here because Dr. Ron's not here this evening. He had a better offer. He's gone off to see Spicks and Specks being taped.
Andrew, correspondence for the week.
Well, see, he hijacks it all, and I don't have any. Well, I do have one.
Okay.
It came in this evening, and it's a Dear Adam letter.
Oh, Adam.
It's a Dear. Apparently, this lingers from one of your 3AW listeners.
Oh, please,
stalker.
No.
Stalker.
Stalker.
So they've tracked you down, Adam.
Oh, we welcome listeners who've heard you us stalk. On other stations and come to listen to the show here.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yes. Betty Hoskins from Glen Waverley writes, Dear Adam. He's doing this to me.
I'm not saying anything. I'm keeping a straight face and trying not to get myself in trouble.
Apparently, Betty has a problem with her computer. When she looks at articles, comes up with a black screen and a box that reads, Adobe PDF documents. Then there's a yellow triangle with black question mark. There's a problem with Acrobat Reader. Is it running? And then please exit and try again. And she says, Adam, I'm a computer-wise about 4 out of 10 and have no idea what to do and have no one to ask. So they're going to ask you.
I'll throw it open to the panel.
Oh, will you?
No, no.
That's what he's like, Betty.
She wants your opinion, Adam.
Obviously check if Acrobat Reader was installed, and then I check if it's running the latest version. Apart from that, it's a bit hard to say depending on which browser you're using, which site you're looking at. Maybe you've got something blocking something.
Have you turned it off and then turned it on again?
Oh, that's the Microsoft way. That would certainly be step one, would be to shut the computer right down and start it up again.
Yep.
The other thing to do would be... Rather than worry about checking what version of Acrobat or whatever you've got, go to www.adobe.com, A-D-O-B-E.com, and you'll find somewhere there a link to download or to get Acrobat or to get Adobe Reader. That's right. It's called Adobe
sure
Reader
you get
now.
It from their website and not from anywhere else. Website because there are a lot of dodgy places that want to get you to download an infected version.
That's right. Don't Google it or search for it. Just go straight to www.adobe.com and get Adobe Reader and follow all the instructions. It'll tell you how to install it on your machine. All the instructions come up on the screen. Just make sure you read the screen before you click on things. Untick the little box that asks you if you want Google Toolbar because you really don't need it. And
you get all that other stuff, don't you?
They bundle stuff in with it. And see how you go, and I reckon that'll probably fix your problem.
I agree. Just go and download a new copy of Acrobat Reader, and that should solve 90% of your problems, regardless of what browser you're currently using. There you go, Betty. She's been a 3AW listener way back to the Norman Bank days, which is, anyway, thanks. Moving right along, shall we?
Yes. Hope that helps.
Yeah. Graham, when you buy a laptop, it comes with all that stuff on it, games and antivirus things and stuff like that.
Yeah, depending on where you get your laptop from, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any secrets to cleaning it up? Because it's just the most annoying thing when you turn it on and everything is foisted upon you from far and wide.
Foistware. Yep, that's the name for it. Or bloatware.
Foist is a good word.
Foistware is a good word to describe what Adobe do with that toolbar that gets added on.
Is there an Adobe toolbar? Or are you talking about the Google bar
Adobe always foist the Google toolbar on you, which is...
They've done a deal.
...really annoying. Yeah, I'm sure they've done a deal. They're probably getting paid a lot of money to do it, but it's very annoying. With your new laptop or your new PC from brand name PC Supply, if you buy a Lenovo workstation or a Dell workstation, I'm sure it all comes the same way. Yeah, you'll get a trial version of some antivirus thing, but odds are you've already got your own subscription to an antivirus from your old machine, which you can move across. So don't feel that you're forced to use the one that's come with your machine. I always go through and do a cleanup and remove the applications I either don't want or don't like.
So you head to Start, Control Panel, and
add remove programs
if you're in a pre-Windows 7?
Yeah.
Or programs in Windows 7?
Yeah, on Windows 7. Yeah, that's right.
You don't have this problem with Macs at all?
You have slightly different problems with Macs, but...
Really?
No. You have no problems with Macs. Macs are fine. They never break ever.
Yeah, right. And if you believe that, you believe anything.
Then you deserve a Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he says while typing on his Mac.
I have a Mac, but I'm not a zealot. There's a bit of a difference.
One trick is just to be careful when you start your computer up. It asks you a lot of questions and tries to do a lot of things. At that point, you can often cancel the installs of things you don't like. So often, the antivirus is provided as an installer.
So do it as you go.
You can cancel it and not install it, and then you can go and uninstall it or delete it, delete whatever is there. Often they'll prepackage Office for you as well, but and that works well for some people. But often you've got
about 90 days, isn't it?
Yeah, or quite often you can get a you can go and buy a card with a number on to just activate it permanently. The new Office works like that. So you instead of having to buy a disc, you can just go and buy a card and activate the copy that's pre-installed.
That's handy. Just that's, at your local reseller of cards, footy cards
at,
or something?
At your local electronics computer shop. Yeah. Yep. You can buy
You probably do it online too.
You probably can.
Another place to see how much junk's running on your computer is you look down at the right-hand corner where the clock is alongside there. It's a systems tray with a little icon for lots of things that are running. You'll see a lot of junk running there that doesn't need to be there. If you
and usually a little arrow to expand it so you can see the ones that are hidden. Yeah.
So you can try right-clicking on things and exiting them or telling them not to run on startup if they're things you don't think you need. And if it causes a problem, you can always switch them on again later. But more often than not, you don't need them and they're just slowing down your computer.
That's exactly right. That's quite true. And you can hover over them usually to see what they are. And usually if you just right-click on them and go exit, then you're not doing anything permanent. You're only going to exit it for that session. So you can use that to try out to see whether it's something you might want to completely uninstall later on.
Yep. One of the other websites which comes to mind, which I was just thinking of there, which I think we've spoken about a long time ago, which I've just gone to make sure it's still there, is decrapifier.com.
Nice.
Now, this website, which is, as you'd expect it, decrapifier.com, is software removal. Welcome to the Software Removal Resource Center. This site is designed to help you quickly and easily find the latest software removal reviews, software removal tutorials, and software removal videos and software removals for sale. All those things that they junk on your laptop. So you can go along there and have a bit of a look. So it might give you a few clues.
Is that PCDecrapifier.com? Is that the one? No,
it's just decrapifier.com.
Perhaps I've found a different one.
Yeah. Have you found
another
one?
Just be careful if you find applications that are offering to run on your computer and do it for you, because chances are that those applications themselves will be viruses. You're looking for instructions on how to get rid of stuff. Be very careful running other stuff.
Yep.
I had an analog version of that.
Sorry?
I'm moving house at the moment.
Oh, are you? You're doing the analog version,
and
yes.
We had someone send a letter to us saying, we'll switch all your utilities over to you for you.
Gutsy.
Yeah, and I kind of went, no, thank you.
Yeah, sounds good.
You give
good.
Them all your details for everything, and they'll just seamlessly switch it on over.
And then what happens when they get hacked?
Yeah,
and then they get a cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
So you got spammed, did you? Or did they?
Oh, yeah. You put a for sale sign at the front of your house, and you've got analog spam like you have no idea. All removal services and all those things.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me a couple of years when I met. But
some could
I
be
don't
good.
Think that's, yeah, I don't think that's unreasonable, because at least
it's
they're
kinda clever.
Targeting people who they know there's a fair chance they might want the services. Yeah. It's not like a shotgun spam where you just aim everywhere. If you know someone's moving house, I don't think that's unreasonable for those people to drop something in your
No, it's
your
not, box. But 60 letters later, you kind of get a bit over it. Yeah, you sort of decide you're not going to use the people who have advertised towards
you. How many
you.
Wheelie bin offers did you get? You know,
wheelie bin?
You know, the big waste things, the mini skip things they stick on your nature strip.
Yeah, no, none.
Really? Because I reckon that would be the most valuable part of moving.
Maybe because my house is too pretty.
Really?
Maybe they do it for the fixer-uppers.
Oh, yeah, maybe. All right. Now, during the course of the week, Adam, you're a respected journalist within the industry.
It's been
so
said.
So they say.
Not by me, but it's been said, yeah.
What's your...
Lizzie nominated.
Yes.
Lizzie Award winning at once.
Oh, almost. It's runner-up.
Yeah.
Runner-up. Well, there you go. That's better than anyone else I know.
Yeah.
What do you, what's
better
your...
than anyone else on this show.
Yeah, well, at least we don't pretend. Hey, what's your take on what's going on up in Queensland, where police confirmed they arrested a journalist and seized his computer on the Queensland Gold Coast? Now, this was after he went to a security conference where he was shown how to easily hack into a Facebook account.
Well, what happened was he went to a conference, a security conference in Queensland, where a guy gave ran a session explaining on a way he had to view people's Facebook photos, even though those photos were set not to be viewed by other people or only by a certain group of people.
So they're set as friends only.
Yeah, we'll say they're set as friends only. And it wasn't just that, hey, click a button here. It was a fairly long and complicated process, but it clearly worked. So he demonstrated it at this session. Ben was arriving late and couldn't go to the session, so he arranged with the guy to have a one-on-one explanation of it afterwards. So this guy just showed him the same thing again. Now, what the guy had done is hacked into the Facebook account of the wife of a rival security expert, right? I think there's a little bit of tension.
That's a bit of an antagonist.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of tension there already, yeah, and I say there's a bit more now.
Presumably, he didn't ask her permission before he did that.
No, he did not ask her permission.
That might have been a serious oversight on his part.
Yeah, it was possibly mistake number one. But then I think what caused the biggest problem is Ben then wrote a story about it for the Sydney Morning Herald online, because Ben's online deputy editor, he works with Asher Moses. And in Ben's story, he included the photo with some of the faces blurred out.
The children's faces blurred out.
The children's faces blurred out.
Okay. So this was before or after he was visited by...
No, before.
Okay.
He wrote that during the day.
So he wrote the story,
he put the photos up.
Yep.
Then two plainclothes police officers came up and had a chat to him at the conference and basically said, oh, we want to have a talk to you about this. Do you mind having a talk to us? And Ben was... They said, we're going to record it. And Ben said, yeah, I'm going to record it too. And Ben's put his recording up on the internet if people want to listen to it. There's also a transcription there. And they were honest with him about who they were and what they were doing. But they gave him the impression up front that there was nothing to worry about. They just want to ask him a few questions. They weren't arresting him or anything like that. And he asked all the right questions. And then they led him basically to where they wanted him to go. Because what it was is they wanted to take his iPad because they felt that his iPad had evidence on it. But they couldn't take it unless they arrested him. So what they did is they asked him enough questions that they then said, by the way, we're arresting you. Now, there's two different kinds of being arrested, at least in Queensland. There's arresting you for questioning and arresting you and charging you with something. They only arrested him for questioning.
State-based laws, obviously.
I'm not sure. Yeah. There are people who know more about this than me. But so they said, right, you're under arrest and we're taking your iPad. Okay, you're not under arrest anymore.
You're unarrested.
Unarrested. And that was their
free
phrase.
To leave.
Unarrested, yeah. He handled it quite well, the situation, when you listen to it. He kept his head. He's only 20. I know him. He's and he's only been... He started off as a blogger and has then worked for Haymarket, now for Fairfax. So he's pretty young and he doesn't have a lot of experience, and he handled himself very well, all things considered.
Better than I would have. I would have just cried.
One of the views is that they didn't actually have the right to take his iPad because it was protected under some of the shield laws that would protect, we'll say, a journalist's notes and stuff like that. I'm not sure of the exact ruling on that. There was a really good piece written on the ABC online by a Queensland, like a lecturer in police studies or something like that. Mm-hmm. There are people who've written a very, very good legal analysis of what happened. But I think if he had have had a lawyer with him, he probably would have got to keep his iPad. Now, all they did was take his iPad, take a full image of it, and then hand his iPad back a couple of days later. So they don't actually try and break into the iPad. They just take an image of it and break into that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether or not they asked him for a password, but I was talking to a friend of mine who's a police officer the other day, and he said, they don't need a password to get into it. I said,
well,
even if your hard drive on your computer's encrypted, and he just laughed and went, nah. So if they take your computer, it doesn't matter what you've done, they can then get into that image and pick out whatever they want. And in theory, they're only allowed to look for stuff that's related to what they're doing,
in theory.
Who knows what they're going to look at.
Yeah.
So it's... I don't think there are... it doesn't look like there have been any more charges pressed against Ben, as much as I know. It doesn't look like they've pressed charges against the guy who actually did it. And Ben was in the session going, I've got the phone number for the guy who actually did this. Like, do you want to call him? And the guy who did it rang the cops and said, if you want to talk to me, call me. And apparently, they haven't called him back.
So
I think it was just easier to pick on Ben. I think they were as much trying to make a point.
Opportunistic?
Well, they were trying to make a point as much as anything else. And Ben was just the easy one to pick on.
20 years,
he was still in the
fairly
room.
Junior in the ranks, and a bit of a walkover, would you say?
Well, no, I don't think he was a walkover.
No?
I think he handled himself quite well.
No,
but if he had have had a lawyer there with him,
been different.
It might have been a bit different. But
probably because he wasn't there for the actual presentation, and he just instead got shown by himself, so it was probably easy to
single
him out.
No, but he'd published the photo.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And the cops are trying to say that...
That now, hasn't it?
Yeah. The cops are trying to say that receiving that photo is the same as receiving a stolen television. And I'm not a legal expert, but I don't agree with that. And I think a lot of people don't agree with that. Mm. I think they're trying to oversimplify it because they're trying to make a point.
Now,
I don't know whether you'll know the answer to this, but I think it's an important question. The person who accessed the Facebook page in question, or who accessed the photo that was supposedly protected.
Mm-hmm. This is the security at the show.
Now, did the security guy teach the journalist how to do it and the journalist then did it?
No, that's not my understanding. The security guy explained how to do it, and then I think the security guy passed the photo in some way on to the journalist, but I don't think the journalist actually did the hacking.
Okay.
But the police's argument
that would make a big difference.
The police are saying it's the same as receiving a stolen television just because you didn't break the shop window and take it.
You
knew it was stolen.
Yeah, now for physical goods, that would certainly be the case.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the law is in regard to...
Yeah.
It was illegally obtained.
I don't know.
There are laws in Australia
to
protect...
You would think so, but that's where I'd call a lawyer.
Before. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was just a loophole they found, really, wasn't it? It wasn't really hacking. It was more
well, that's the thing. Yeah, it wasn't actually hacking. It was a Facebook vulnerability. It was URL exploit. Guessing.
It depends on how you define hacking. I mean, hacking is just...
trying
experimenting,
stuff till it works.
Experimenting with computer systems, yeah.
Which is what they did.
Trying the back door instead of the front door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a form of URL guessing and it took him like a week or so to do it. Once he had enough information from a few different sources, he could then start taking educated guesses at what the URL was to view that.
Right.
That photo, which otherwise wasn't supposed to be shared with other people. One of the lessons, it's probably on Media Watch tonight. I'd be very surprised if it wasn't. If I'm worthy of being talked about on Media Watch and this isn't, this justice system is all screwed. But
I don't think Media Watch is actually technically part of the justice system.
No, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. But I think one of the lessons to come out of it is when the cops say they want to ask you some questions in these circumstances, you say, no, I'm calling a lawyer. Because he said to them, am I under arrest? Can I walk away? And they said, yes. And I can understand at the time, like, it's easy to stand here now and say, oh, he should have just walked away. Mm. But it's different when you're actually there.
The way they did it, they
reeled him in nice and slowly.
He had
they
no
tried
reason
not
to
scare
think
him.
He was
yeah. They tried not to scare him. They tried to make it sound like, oh, we just want to ask you for a bit of advice and a bit of help.
And that's their skill at doing their job, and they had a job to do.
Journalists use the exact same techniques
absolutely.
To get people who don't want to talk to you to talk to you. And they just did the same thing that we do to people to him.
And it's a method of gathering information, which is what the police are trying to do. And that's fair and reasonable, I think, as long as they acted within the law.
Well, that's whether or not they acted within the law,
I don't
know.
Will be decided, It's not for us. We can't decide
that. It's a good lesson. One of the interesting things that I've been thinking about is then this was Ben's work iPad, what he does, what he was writing stories on, especially because he was out of the office and away from the office. If I'm taking my MacBook or my iPhone to a conference or something and the cops want to take it away, what exactly are they going to have access to?
Mm.
And you can't say, oh, well, I will just use my iPad and only do stuff on Google Docs and not save anything on the computer because it would still be in the cache. The only way you could do it was to keep your device stock standard and only do stuff remotely through something like LogMeIn or Citrix Session. So absolutely no details of what you're doing was left on the device. And that's a pain.
Mm.
But that would be the thing that you would have to do. And then the cops would need a warrant to go to wherever the data was stored to get in to get it, unless they could somehow twist your arm and get your password.
They need a warrant to actually.
But it seems like they didn't need a warrant to take Ben's iPad.
They just arrested him. I think.
Arrested him for long enough to take his iPad and then unarrested him.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable. If that's a legal way to do it. That's right.
That's the if that I'm not in a position to answer.
And that's the if that none of us really knows.
Yeah.
My last point before you move on, Andrew, if I could. It is legitimate to do research into security vulnerabilities. It's not something that anybody should be afraid or ashamed of doing if they're technically inclined or got an interest in these sorts of things. But if you think there's a vulnerability in xyz.com and you want to access somebody else's account on xyz.com, do not access another real user's account. Set up two accounts of your own.
And hack it.
And attack your own account. One of your own accounts.
Pick someone in the room and ask them permission.
Or pick one of your colleagues and ask permission first. Because otherwise you are going to end up in a truckload of trouble.
Absolutely.
A metric truckload.
there, yeah. But it is a legitimate thing to do to get interested in these sorts of security things, because if there weren't people out there doing that, then these sorts of vulnerabilities would not come to light, and the only people that would know about it would be the hackers that are working for the bad guys.
Yes, Sony know all about them, don't they?
Mm.
All right, moving on.
That depends on how you define bad guys.
Well, people
that's
who...
That's a whole other kettle of fish.
...procure things for monetary gain and they don't belong to them.
Put software on your computer that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, then that... Yeah.
So Microsoft.
Come on. Yeah, you know
what
I'm thinking.
I handed it to you, Graham.
Yes, you did.
I put it up there, now send it home.
Yep, well, yeah, Adam's definition would include Sony themselves.
Yep.
Well, yeah, they are. They're a victim of their own successes, really, when it comes to
they're
that,
a victim of their own putting software that hacks your computer on their CDs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was very short-lived, wasn't it? Until
so they've
what
stupid.
Happened, was
they've
it?
Really annoyed the entire
world,
and no one's going to forget it.
Geek community by that, yeah, no one's ever going to forget that one.
And then to have their login page hacked, I thought that was really quite humorous, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, and of course,
it's just Sony's time.
Someone's toying with
groups.
Them.
Groups like Anonymous,
exactly. Someone's toying with
groups
them.
Like Anonymous that denied any involvement in the original hack. If Sony have their network down for weeks on end, saying they're fully testing it and making it. You know, making it bulletproof, and then someone can find an exploit within a few days of it coming back up like this, then that's exactly what groups like Anonymous are going to do. They're going to highlight it. They're going to exploit it and publicise it and make as much as they can out of it.
Anonymous, though.
But also, Anonymous isn't one group.
No,
it's not. They don't have a command structure where they make decisions on behalf of everybody.
And they tend to like denial of service attacks and those sorts of fairly... easy things. They can just put directions on the website and how to do it, and they tell all their little minions to go do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're squeaky clean, but I'm saying that they're not without their legitimate motivations alongside their they're not just out to
proving a point with most.
They're proving a point rather than actually trying to do a lot of damage. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
All right, moving along. Apple, because we like talking about Apple. Did you know? You probably did because you're into these devices. Mm-hmm. Apple made huge headroads into the enterprise corporate market sales in the last little bit. They're now really kicking some great goals compared to what the old PC is. So a lot of enterprises are now choosing to go down the Mac platform.
Mm. Is this because of iDevices?
Well, Mac sales in the enterprise during Apple's last fiscal quarter grew a whopping 66%.
Yeah, from a tiny base,
that's
though.
The
dodgy numbers.
That's the
they
thing.
Doubled it. Instead of selling two, they sold four.
Well said, Adam.
Thank you.
So, but yes, like I've seen a lot more Mac devices out there.
I see a lot of work iPads.
Which
around.
Is where I was drawing. Yeah, the iPads in particular, I think their iGadgets, as you were drawing towards Lena, is very much part of it. So, but as for their main workhorses and things like that,
but of course, the other thing is that the high flyers from big business, they go into the Apple store to buy their iPhone because everyone's got an iPhone, you've got to have one, and their BlackBerry's just a little bit out of date now. So even though they only bought it 3 months ago,
I was going to say the new BlackBerries are actually pretty nice.
Oh yeah, but you've got to have an iPhone.
Yeah,
yeah. So
if you don't have an iPhone,
you're the CEO of XYZ.com, you've gone down to the Apple store to buy your iPhone, and the salesman's got hold of you, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So I might have to have a Mac on my desk now. I have a MacBook.
Hmm.
Brian in our office, who is also a Mac and a PC user, has has basically given up on Windows Phone 7.
Oh.
He's just hanging out for the new BlackBerry to come out. So
the new BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Oh no,
BlackBerry.
The new BlackBerry OS 6 is very nice. It's picked up some nice features from iOS and from Android.
Mm.
The Torch 9800, I think it was.
I think his technical sense of direction is wide up backwards. Really sorry.
Well, I'm just presenting the options to him.
Is the new BlackBerry still all buttons?
So why hasn't he bought an Android device?
Well, he had one and he got rid of it.
He didn't like his Android device.
It's got a QWERTY keyboard on the front.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he didn't tell me he was clinically insane.
but it's got a slide down. Actually, the new BlackBerry's got a full screen on the front and a keyboard that slides down.
Is it a touch screen?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
He's researched it quite well, hardware-wise.
If you're a BlackBerry user who's got a little bit of iPhone envy but doesn't want to go over to the dark side, this is BlackBerry's probably the one for you.
The BlackBerry was the original dark side. They called it the CrackBerry because it started to rule your life. Mm.
The worm turns.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Optus have been fined $178,200 by the Competition Watchdog over advertising because of its advertising of its capped phone plans. Have you ever had cap creep where you say, this is all you're going to pay, but hang on, wait a minute, and you get little things chucked in on your bill down the track?
Yeah, all the
time.
They'll
do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Optus got caught out again with that sort of stuff, so they got pinged by the ACCC the other day in relation to their $49 cap. So, yeah, better the devil
than
I'm on
a bigger cap with that for Telstra, and I always go over it.
Really? Yeah. I can't even go anywhere near my cap at the moment. I don't know what I've done. Either that or
they're
not charging
a good deal.
Well, actually, it's very funny. The deal that I'm on disappeared very quickly. It was there for a while and it disappeared.
It's impossible to keep track of the deal. Telstra is the absolute worst. It's impossible to keep track of the deals, and you have to know the secret handshake and who to call to find out. And then you ring back to talk to someone else who's never heard of that deal, or you got to ring a certain department to find out about certain things. Mm. They are such a pain to know that, to try and figure out whether you're on the best deal.
You know, with Telstra, you can leave the SMS message or the voice and converts it to an SMS message along the way. You know that?
I know of it. I haven't used it.
Okay. What happens is you can actually you get that thing where the phone's turned off. Instead of going to message bank, it goes to, 10
leave
seconds.
A short 30-second message. Yeah,
you can actually turn that off if you know the right codes to do that. Not on your handset. You have to get Telstra to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, having known the right person at Telstra, we found out the correct code for them to put into the system to turn that off if you want to do it.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that those codes exist, you walk into any Telstra shop and say, no, we can't turn that off.
Which means every phone call gets paid for, even though you didn't get through to the person.
Correct.
Even if it's just a stupid, send them your number, and it's not like, no, I've got caller ID blocked, so I don't have to send them my number. Yeah. I don't want to send them a number, but to find that out, I've now paid for the call. Thank you very much.
Isn't the call free if you hang up before the beep?
Yeah, but sometimes you've got to wait until after the beep to find out enough information to find out it's not actually what you want to do.
Okay.
That's why Telstra made their their virtual voicemail thing free, because they make money from it, because it means you ring someone, they're not home, it just costs you money.
Yeah, message bank. They call
message
it.
Bank. Yeah.
And if you do it from a mobile, you get your flag fall. Plus, your first minute of your call, it's what, $1.20 just to ring and leave a message.
Every unanswered call, you know, is a lost income for Telstra.
Yeah, anyway.
There's truth in what the man says.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then again, it's nice being able to connect to a call to be charged for it.
Not saying I'd want to be with any of the others. Heaven forbid. But that doesn't mean... It's like Apple. I use an Apple and I'm not saying I want to go back to Windows, but that doesn't mean that I have to pretend that Apple's perfect.
Yep.
The same with Telstra.
Yeah.
They've got a good network, but they have their problems. Apple makes some nice stuff, but they have their problems. Mm. And just because you use something doesn't mean you need to worship the maker and pretend that it has no flaws.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a...
Ooh.
No, I do agree.
We have a consensus.
I'd be facetious when I say that I love everything about them, but yeah, no.
My wife has an iPhone at home at the moment.
Secondhand.
Yeah.
Yours.
Secondhand.
Yours that you didn't want anymore.
Not only secondhand, but hand me down.
Yeah.
Smashed on the concrete and hand me down.
Thrown me down.
Yeah, thrown me down.
You know my iPhone too well.
Yeah.
Anyway, she is on a Carrier 3, which...
It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. Mm. Not for much longer, because I think we're about to churn away again. I had an argument with three the other day. They gave me $10 for arguing with them. It was very nice of them.
Oh.
It came up on the bill
I'm
today.
I'm a bit skint. I should have an argument with them.
Just ring them up.
Yeah, yeah.
You're an idiot. That'll be $10.
You don't actually get the $10. You just get the $10 off the next bill.
That's correct.
Aww.
They don't send you folding
no
stuff.
No cash.
Still, anyway, a little bit helps.
But anyway, the point I was trying to make on the Apple device sitting on the kitchen room table at home, and we're only 9 kilometres from the centre of one of Australia's major cities, she can't receive SMSs on that network, which is most frustrating. She has to go outside to receive an SMS on 3.
Oh, no.
Because it's really funny. You pick the phone up and you walk outside and it goes beep, 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 beep. Anyway, we put
it's
a Telstra...
It's worth it. For a couple of dollars more now, you can be with Telstra.
Correct. Right, we put a Telstra SIM in there and it worked a treat. And said, there you go. Let's just move it across. So it's just frustrating. But anyway, that was another story from the dark side.
That's not the dark side's fault.
I'm sure others on those networks would also be feeling the pain at the moment. Well, Voter fail. We're speaking to the Sydney guy who put that site together, and we had the satire group in a couple of weeks back.
TV show. Live on stage.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, and that was a bit of fun. So there's a lot of people out there we're also suffering.
People are starting to complain about it, the performance on NextG now. And the reason's obvious.
Capacity.
Yeah, everyone's leaving the others and going to Telstra. Telstra was always so good because it was so expensive.
No one was on it.
You were the only one on it.
Yeah, so
not anymore.
So I've got a good idea, Adam.
Let's put the price up.
No, even better than that. Why don't we have a policy where to provide broadband internet to everybody, what we do is we rip up all the copper telephone lines
and we don't lay
cable and we move them all to wireless and everybody's home internet connections on NextG.
Wireless has infinite spectrum.
Yeah.
You can just pump more and more stuff through it faster and faster. And this copper, this fiber thing's a joke. I mean, what if we discover something that goes faster than light? Then we've wasted our money.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
On that note.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOS as well?
Steve Wozniak, the traitor.
I'm down to four cables again, not 14,000.
Go away.
Click here to upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
And you can come and chat with us in the chat if you like, at chat.techtalkradio.com.au. There's a lot of people in there this evening. Hello to Warlock.
Oh, there are too.
I'll be up there in Sydney very shortly.
Hi,
Warlock.
Primal.
So what else have we got? Yeah, Primal. Yeah, Gareth there. I like Gareth's tweet before. Graham had a bit of a laugh at it. Dear at Tony Abbott MP, you are being openly mocked on Tech Talk Radio. Who would do such a thing?
I don't know.
Who?
Sorry, Mr. Rabbit.
Oh, that's... Hasn't she changed ever since that came out into the mainstream? She's very distinctive now between the Mr. and Abbott.
Yeah, Mr. Pause.
Yeah, Mr. Abbott. Pause. Oh, dear, good for a laugh. All right, on to other things this week. While we were talking about Apple stuff before, and while we're talking about politicians, great segue here. The iPad use on the parliamentary Wi-Fi gets the DPS approval, which I laughed at today, that's the Department of the Parliamentary Services. Apparently, they've done their tests. It's taken 6 months for them to make sure that the iPad works on the Wi-Fi network there, but they're still not allowed to use them.
Oh,
go figure.
Why not?
I don't know. They just, Mr. Thompson's the man up there. He said, however, that they can't say when iPads might be allowed on their network. But
well, it's Parliament. They've got to have some kind of procedures and stuff. I mean, six months is
so
maybe a bit of a joke.
Down and rib-tate.
Yeah, but still,
So hang on, a Wi-Fi device. What's the difference between an iPad and an iPhone?
Who knows what it's running in the background and what it could be doing? If you could just walk in with any device and connect to the network and do whatever you want, I'm sure that would be a security risk.
Yeah, I guess you could put a payload in there or something like that.
I won't name the countries who live around us who would love to just walk into Parliament House with a Wi-Fi device and just deliver a payload.
Yeah,
they do have to take some precautions. Maybe 6 months on an iPad is overkill, but I'd rather them do that than to just declare a free-for-all.
Mm. About 10 Department of Parliamentary Services officers had a range of security levels to test the iPad on the different parliamentary computing network services. So they've got plenty up there.
And I'm sure Apple wasn't very helpful.
It got the approval, but they're still not allowed to use it?
Maybe got the first level of approval. Who knows?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who knows?
But Apple won't come out and tell you all that stuff. I'm sure they have to test it themselves.
No doubt.
Hmm.
Speaking of Apple, refusing support for Mac malware cleanup, allegedly. Macs have been targeted by a major malware attack, with experts saying that Apple platform's popularity means it's reached a security tipping point, because now everyone's got one, haven't they? So it's time to teeter into the world of let's attack a Mac and see what we can do.
Especially because owners think they're invulnerable.
Well, yes. Yes. Despite the new threat, a leaked document suggests Apple is apparently refusing to offer support to affected users. Well, isn't that deniability? No, it couldn't be us, surely.
Yeah, but you can't go to Microsoft either and say, hey, I've got a virus, fix it for me.
Mm. No, you can't.
They do stuff like their updates and stuff like that. They have tried to do it. There's a monthly Windows update that clears out Configure and some of the other major worms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
you have to always say yes to that.
Yeah, but so Microsoft's doing what they can to help. But you can't just ring them up and say, oh, I've got a virus. I'll walk back into Harvey Norman, wherever you bought the computer from, and say, oh, this is a Windows box. I've got a virus.
But don't a lot of people buy a Mac based on the fact that, oh, look, it's clean. It's not like a PC. It's going to be... And then when they get a virus, what do? They phone home to its maker.
Well, some of the Apple advertising at one point did talk about the fact that they had less viruses.
Yeah, the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC campaign, wasn't it?
There was one of those that was based on that.
Yeah.
But no, you're quite right, Adam. It's beyond what they're required to do, I would have thought, or what their competition is doing.
A widespread fake security antivirus called Mac Defender has used a scare and install tactic that has been seen countless times in the world of Windows, but with Apple gaining ground as a mainstream platform, the practice has now spread to
that's
the Macs.
A bit of a
Let me guess. So it's a pop-up that says your computer is infected. Install this thing to get rid of the infection.
Yep.
And what you install is actually the infection.
Mm. Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah. What was that for? Sorry. Visual graphic
and
here in the studio.
Don't work in the studio.
No, this is radio, Graham. If you want to hit someone over there.
He was agreeing with me in a very visual
fashion. No, I was telling you not to touch my microphone.
No, it was completely different. Yeah.
Sorry.
It was about the sound effects, yeah.
I'm muddying up the audial waters. Audial? I'm just made up a word again.
You did.
Audial.
What sort of sound would that
catch on now?
What sort of sound would that make for the promo?
No. No Foley today.
No Foley? Okay. Nope. You're feeling a lot better, I suspect, too. You've got that chirpiness back in your voice again.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Because Graham refused to come in last week because you had the dreaded.
He was too scurred.
He was. And Ron's got it now, so.
I know, I've infected everyone.
He's infecting people at the ABC as we speak.
Yeah.
The word you were looking for is auditory.
Auditory, that's it. I was about to say oral, but that's not, no, that's not quite different. Right. Yeah.
No, that's oral, probably valid oral. As well. Oral, yeah.
Oral. Anyway.
While we're talking about computer-related things, Android 3.1 platform been out now since about May the 10th. But I really bizarrely look at my devices. I have two Android devices and a lot of people with them, and they're still running the old stuff, 2.whatever, because the telcos don't want to roll them out.
This is the difference between Apple and Android, though. Apple roll out their releases because it's standard hardware. Android isn't. So you can't just go, here's the new OS. Telstra hands it out to all their customers. It's broken. Who do they go to? They walk back into the Telstra shop and demand it get fixed.
It's worse than that because it's got to go...
Get all the Telstra Android, bloatware in it.
No. Android release a product, then the device manufacturer has to deal with it and adapt it to the device.
Yep.
And then after that, the
telco
actual...
gets it.
Yeah.
Whereas Apple, the software maker and the hardware maker is the same people.
Yeah, so they've only got two layers
instead of
three.
They've only got themselves to blame.
Yeah, they've got two layers instead of three. Yep.
But I think they've all broken things from time to time. Whilst we're here, Windows Mobile 6, which has been around now for some time. Apparently, July the 15th is the last day for that particular operating system, as they will be accepting
no new
applications.
No, the last day for that operating system for me was...
A while ago.
Quite a long time ago.
6.5.
Launch day, that's the one.
No, it's 6.5 that we're talking about. Is it that they're going to stop developing apps for us? Something?
Yeah, no more apps from July the 15th, which means that anyone running one of those devices, those handsets, apart from the fact that there's plenty of other options out there by now if you haven't worked it out.
But you've been able to... 6.5 handsets have still been on sale, though.
Really?
Even when the 7 stuff came out. Okay. Yeah, they've been... HTC and people like that have been selling some very nice 6.5 handsets running the SensuI interface over the top. So they kind of look like Android devices and they're actually quite nice to use. I'm not saying you should go out and buy one, but I'm saying they weren't too bad as phones. So it's not like you haven't been able to buy one for years.
Okay.
But if you have bought one... You really should have seen the writing on the wall. You can't say, oh, but I didn't know. You should be doing your research.
Mm-hmm. And with Nokia did a deal with Microsoft with their handsets. Why haven't we seen any new
Because they said it would
Nokia
take them
devices.
A year to get it sorted out.
Well, we've got 7.5 in Phone 7 coming out shortly. But a year for Nokia?
That's what they said.
No, that's reasonable to me.
It's not they're polite to keep hitting the horse after it's dead.
They're starting from scratch, remember?
Everything in Nokia land was geared to Symbian.
The Ivy store just got canned the other day, and then a PR announcement closed or announced the closure of or something.
Oh, they have officially announced it,
I think they officially announced it. And then 30 minutes later, a press release went out telling us about new apps in the Ivy store. We all thought that was very amusing with the left and right hands not syncing their calendars. Hang on, I'll find
Well, I can put apps in the store, but no one will be able to access
it. Talk amongst yourselves and I'll find that OV press release.
Oh, okay.
Rhubarb.
Nokia's share of the smartphone market has fallen by a third, while Microsoft's has nearly halved. The pair signed a deal earlier this year that saw Nokia drop its Symbian OS in favour of Microsoft's Phone 7, but nothing's been cited as of just yet. But that was 6 months ago, so there can't be too long to go before we start seeing Phone 7.5 handsets.
They'll be anxious. Microsoft will be anxious to make it happen as quickly as they can. I think they'll be anxious to get something out, but it will take time.
Yeah, because they've paid an arm and a leg to do it.
You've got to effectively develop a whole new product.
Do you reckon Microsoft will put Skype in 7.5?
Well, I would say Windows Live Skype is obviously on the horizon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And on the Xbox.
But Microsoft have already got a very strong Messenger platform. You know, Windows Live Messenger has video, has voice, has all those things.
Yep.
So they don't need two of all of that. Yeah. It's all going to get rolled into one product. Messenger and Skype are going to become the same thing.
What's your take on this, Adam?
I'm not quite sure where the value lies, because at the low end, as you say, they've already got that kind of stuff. And at the high end, it's not like it's going to replace... Microsoft does a lot of high-end VoIP business stuff. They have communication server.
Their unified messaging system.
Unified messaging system. It's not going to replace that. It's not going to replace Windows Live Messenger. So sort of slot somewhere in between. Maybe, I'm not sure. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to me like a natural fit. It's not like there was a gaping hole in Microsoft's offering that it fills. If they didn't have a consumer-level VoIP client, it would make a lot of sense. But Windows Live Messenger is a fairly mature product and does pretty much most of what Skype does. It's just not as well recognized and as widely used.
Now, also, there was a whole hullabaloo a while back about Skype not owning the underlying protocols that they were using.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember the details of that.
No, but Skype, it seems to me, possibly Microsoft have got it purely as a marketing thing, as a branding thing, because to Skype somebody or to use, you know, particularly if you've got family travelling overseas, they always talk about, I'm going to Skype them. So
it's a bit like Google. It's become a verb.
They've spent $8.5 billion to buy yesterday's technology. With the same money, they could have bought 8 startups of tomorrow's technology, and they could have put himself in the driver's seat for what's going to happen next.
But that's why I think that what they want is the name. They want, when people say Skype, they want them to end
when
up with Windows
Skype,
Live Messenger.
When people say Skype, they're going
to
hear Microsoft, though.
They want to be relevant.
I think they've... I understand what you're saying is that they want to ride on the Skype name, but if it's anything like Hotmail, all they're going to do is ride it into the ground. Hotmail was great before Microsoft touched it, and then it went downhill. I think I would be shocked if the same doesn't happen to Skype. If they're smart, they won't touch it.
Mm.
But you look at what Lena was saying, to stay relevant. Has Microsoft had its time?
Yep.
But you're just a hater.
I'm not a hater. I use Microsoft products, I promise. I love my Xbox. I love it. I would stroke it while I was in bed if I could.
I don't know if it's had its time, but it needs to really think about where it's going, because it only makes
they
money.
They haven't been innovating for ages.
It only makes money out of two things, Office and Windows.
Yeah.
And both of those things are seeing threats from big players like Google that aren't going to knock them over in the short term, but are going to hurt them in the long term. And they can't wait until the day that no one's using Windows or Office and then say, what do we do now? They need to be thinking ahead, and that's why I reckon their money would have been spent better off investing in things for the future rather than trying to buy up something from the past.
They just don't innovate anymore. They just sit around congratulating themselves on how awesome they are instead of making new stuff.
Mm.
They should make new stuff.
Bill Gates came out and said he commended the purchase.
But that's pocket change for him. What does he care?
His first car probably cost that.
Yeah. I wonder. I haven't seen a keynote with Steve Ballmer for a while. I'm sure that'll be a bit of fun when it comes out anyway.
Apparently, the Ivy store is being rebranded as the Nokia store, which is probably the beginning of the end. I'm not sure. The solely a name change exercise, apparently, and doesn't affect the roadmaps. But the changing the name is the first step always to either closing something or selling something. I think everybody knows that. So, I wouldn't be investing a lot of money in OV apps.
Ooh.
Hey, you know, tell me that's not a crazy comment.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
Woo!
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
It's time to
That's me.
Time to talk about vicious birds.
Vicious birds. The angriest of angry birds.
Yeah. 200 mil, hey? That's a lot of angriness out there, isn't it?
I found out just before the show.
I wonder if that's divided by three because everyone's got three versions on their iGadget or their Android device.
I reckon everyone does own more than one.
Yeah. I've downloaded these three more than once because they do updates and all that sort of stuff.
I copped another one tonight.
I don't know if they count updates. That'd be a bit rich, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they wouldn't count updates, but they do have their Christmas one, their Halloween one, their Rio one, their volleyball one, their, you know.
The volleyball one?
I really haven't seen volleyball one.
There's some new one coming up.
I've seen the Rio one because that comes out with a new one each month. You can update it. You see, we've got monkeys now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
And they've got a dog that chases a ball.
The oral purist is putting things through the microphone from his phone.
Oh, no. There you go. That's what it sounds like. We had to do a demo for somebody who didn't quite know what it was. Now, you were trying to put this into proportion before. I'm going to pull your fade in a minute there, Graham.
He gives good foley.
Yeah, we worked out just before we came into the studio that as many people own Angry Birds as many people speak French.
Yep.
That's a lot. Angry Birds. I don't know, Angry Birds is
great in France, is it?
I don't know. Correlation and causation might have something to say there, but that's a lot of...
That's a credit to Rovio.
It was
a good concept. Like, if you think about it, sitting around a drunken table one night, let's throw these birds at pigs, I'll love it.
Yeah.
And everyone will be going, yeah, sure.
Yeah. No,
but look what's happened.
It's just polished. It's the key to a good iOS game or a good small, addictive, fun, casual game is the most fun meeting the path of least resistance. So the easiest thing to do is the most fun thing to do.
Yes, but also it's striking the right balance between being difficult and being easy.
Yeah.
Angry Birds doesn't make you sit there for 45 minutes trying to get past some tricky level.
Oh, sometimes it does.
Well, okay, it can do. You can spend your buck and buy the big bird buster. It's not like
some of those big long invests. You can sit down and play Angry Birds for 2 minutes and feel like you've got somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just enough to make it difficult but not enough to frustrate you too much. Because I've played a bit of Angry Birds and I'm not a really big gamer because after a few minutes, I find myself saying, why am I doing this? This is a waste of time. I've got better things to do. Now, that's because I work
better
too much.
Better things than gaming?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I need to find a better balance. But Angry Birds is one of the games that actually sucked me in.
He does that while he's watching Footscray on the couch.
Don't mention football. Do not talk about football.
You're in the wrong segment, Andrew. Adam.
Sorry.
Did he just say there's better things to do than gaming? Did I hear that right?
But there's always good places to do gaming, like in the dentist surgery whilst you're waiting.
Oh, my dentist has got a DVD player hooked up to a screen above his chair and you can bring your own movies.
Really?
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's a
you have to bring your own. He used to have a library, but then I think he got worried that there was some copyright thing where maybe he was like an oil rig or something and you're not allowed to screen movies.
Broadcasting.
So he makes you bring your own.
You can plan ahead. I'm doing a Crown. I'll take an hour and a half.
Yeah, I brought Ferris Bueller in one time.
You wouldn't want to be there for long enough to bring Lord of the Rings or something.
No. That's bad.
That is a new one of those coming out.
My dentist is very cool.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
So there you go. There's a good use for gaming. Whilst you're in the waiting room, of any medical practitioner, I would have thought, would be good use for it. Or in the smallest room of the house to pass the time. All those sorts of things.
From casual games to not so casual games, I've been playing L.A. Noire.
Really?
Yeah, having lots and lots
Tell
of fun
us about
with that.
L.A. Noir. Is that something like Black Los Angeles?
Not quite.
Being L.A.,
That's
Los Angeles, and Noir being
translation.
French, Black?
Sort of film noir is what they're sort of going for, but with an E on the end, not spelled 100% correctly.
But do you have to pronounce it in the American way? Do you have to say noir?
Noir. Yeah. Noir. It's sort of Mulholland Drive, L.A. Confidential type theme. I brushed on it lightly last week because it was just about to come out, but I've put probably about 12 hours into it now, and I think
that's not much for you.
That's not much, no. Right? And I think I've just reached 40% completion.
How do you do this? You're moving house. You've got family to bring up, and you can find 12 hours to play games.
I don't sleep. This is why I get sick. I don't sleep. but yeah, I'm having so much fun with it. I'm so proud of it because it's an Australian developed game, this one.
We don't get
AAA titles all that much in Australia, so it's good to support homegrown. And the thing I'm really, really enjoying about it is the faces, the facial technology in this game is unbelievable, and you should all watch a trailer or watch some YouTube videos to sort of see what it's about, because they've used this new thing called motion scan technology. So they've put sort of like how they did Gollum for Lord of the Rings, you know, with all the little things stuck to his face.
So even though it's animated, it's been acted by a real actor.
Yeah, all real actors. Even the bit parts walking past kicking cans on the street, they all have beautifully animated faces, and it just really helps with the immersion. You really feel like you're in it because you're not going, oh, God, that as my friend Tristan pointed out, a lot of acting in video games sometimes feels like the Thunderbirds trying to win an Oscar. Like, it just really wouldn't.
It's really hard to mimic human movements. And the human brain is very good at telling when something's not real.
Yeah.
So that's why they use people with dots on them and film where the dots move, because that's when they get the movement right.
Yeah, it's amazing. The furrowed brows and the top, the upper lip. That's normally with games, you know, the bottom jaw just kind of moves and that's it. But the top lip moves and everything is just outstanding. And I think they've really raised the bar with
L.A.
with the way Noir. It's going to look.
Fully animated, is it?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's
so
really,
so what platforms?
Really
cool. Obviously, you'd want something in nice high def, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, Sony. I'm playing it on Xbox 360, which means spread over three discs.
Why, they only got CDs in them? Haven't they gone to DVD yet?
They haven't got Blu-ray
all the time, or have they got it?
It's actually not too bad. You only change once. So you play disc one until they say put disc two in.
Oh, that's not so bad. So you're not constantly
changing.
You're
not installing.
Can you jump the ship and go straight to disc two?
No.
No, so it's clever enough. It knows along the way which one you're up to.
Well, I haven't tried. I don't know what happens when you do put number two in.
Please install disc one.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Open other end.
It's the first video game to be shown at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, which is very interesting. There's some really great cinematics and great acting, and I think it's definitely raised the bar with what we're going to see in the future. I think Graham's just having a look now on YouTube.
Yeah,
not too
I'm
bad,
I'm watching
huh?
it over Graham's shoulder, and the movement of the characters.
Like the faces. Yeah, the faces. Eyebrows.
The faces see, and that, stuff. You can tell it's modelled on people. They've got that quite well.
Yes. Even the way that the bodies move as well. Not just the faces. Yeah, the necks aren't spot on, but the way they move, the way he runs downstairs.
The way these guys are just walking along.
Yeah,
it's very smooth.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah.
It's very, very smooth. And it's a good detective sort of whodunit type thing. So you're playing,
so you're
start
not going
out
through
as a cop and then you work your way up to a detective.
You're not going through little holes and the wall and stuff
it's not
that.
Portal.
Oh, good.
No, it's not Portal.
Oh, good.
You might have sucked me into Portal. I'm seriously thinking about having a look at it.
You should. It's really, really good. Graham's going to when he's on holidays.
I'm
going to
save it for when I need it. Yeah.
I think that's another reason why Dr. Ron's not here tonight. He's in therapy.
He's not in therapy.
He's repairing the tattered remains of his marriage.
No, you always have to balance.
Don't start rumours and speculation.
You have to balance time with your loved ones with games, and they have to be either equal or people first and then games.
Yeah.
We'll that's why I do it when everyone's asleep. Yeah. Then you're not annoying anyone.
No one's missing out on anything then.
No, exactly. So well, how do you game when my son's asleep.
How do you evaluate a soundtrack in a film if you're doing it at 11 o'clock in the evening and everyone's snoozing?
Well, there's this magic new technology, Andrew. They're called headphones.
You should try them.
Yeah, but it doesn't shake the floor. You know,
I don't like the floor shaking when I'm in a game.
Really?
No.
You got to have the floor shake when you're playing Gran Turismo 5 and you
I
hit
like
the wall.
I like it when my controller shakes.
Car in front of you.
You can get gamer chairs that have got the subwoofer built into the chair.
Yeah. Oh, dear me.
No.
I love that idea.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, thank you.
You'd find me dead in one of them. You know. I'd weigh 500 kilos. I wouldn't have moved for 4 years.
Last seen at. No, it's, I highly, highly recommend you pick it up. It's available on PlayStation and Xbox. I think it's going to eventually find its way to PC, but this is one of those things where you're probably looking at a year later. It might find its way to the PC. But it's outstanding, and I think it's definitely raised the bar on what we're going to see in the next few years. Very, very excited about it.
I think it's same with films too. All these films are coming out and they're all animated, and there's a very fine line between what's real and what isn't these days.
I think they've reached the line where they should stop though.
Really?
If it's that real that you can't tell the difference, then why didn't you just film it?
People can tell the difference.
But I'm saying, who cares about photorealism? I'm not there for photorealism. I'm there for a good movie and a good plot.
Yeah.
I don't care about the special effects that much. If you've got good special effects and terrible plot, I don't care.
That's
true.
So
it reaches a point where it's like, if all you care about is making it look a little bit better, that's not a good enough reason.
See, that's what I really like about L.A. Noire is that prettiness and the expressions in the faces is actually there to help you be a better detective. It's
that's
not
okay. If it's contributing to the plot and actually
that makes
doing
sense.
Something.
It's not prettiness for prettiness' sake. Yeah. It actually helps you decide when they're lying. They start looking left and looking right and you can sort of tell that they're lying and you can then press them and accuse them
I'd
of lying.
I take the opposite point of view, though, to Adam. I think that it's not a problem to have the special effects raised to the level where the whole point of special effects is that you shouldn't be able to see a special effect and say, oh, that's a special effect.
No, but
if you can see the matte lines
so
around the TIE
like.
Fighters, you haven't done your job right. Yeah.
No, but okay. I mean people who look like, just a scene of people talking who look like, who look real and are not. Like, why didn't you just get people? Wouldn't it have been easier?
Yeah.
But if it's science fiction stuff that
so
you're
much better
to make look
if
real.
Jar Jar had looked vaguely believable.
But I think that's one of the challenges for special effects. We'll say Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings has to look more real because, I mean, not all those monsters and stuff, but a lot of that stuff, like, you know roughly what it should look like. But when you're making an alien...
Peter Jackson's got a lot to answer for.
But when you're making an alien, it's a bit harder to go, oh, that don't look like a real alien.
Yeah.
But so the more
no
things,
point of reference.
Yeah, the more things in your movie that are ordinary things, the better job you have to do.
Yeah, but if you can get the special effects to the point and especially animation of human-like characters...
The humans that I'm talking about.
To the human-like characters to the point where you can't tell whether it's a special effect or whether it's live action, then it becomes then the filmmaker's choice whether... It's better to use a human
actor.
Whether it's better to use an actor, whether it's better to use an actor in a suit to do motion
and
capture.
And watch the actors'
you still have to
freak out at that point. Yeah. I think they're already doing it actually.
And for a lot of things, it's still going to be more cost effective to hire an actor and just film it. But there might be situations where you want to film something that you don't want to have a person do.
Mm.
And it's possibly
double.
Good. So you might instead of having a live stunt double who's putting himself in danger and you know being shot out of something extraordinary. Then maybe you'll do that using virtual reality.
But they did that with The Matrix and it looked terrible. Go back and watch some of The Matrix
yeah,
movies.
And so they should
yeah,
improve
they get it. Better.
It.
Yeah. That yeah. was bad. It stood out so badly when Neo wasn't real.
When wasn't real, yeah.
That was 10 years ago, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
come a long way. Yeah. So but even in The Lord of the Rings, some of that bit, you can really tell
it, yeah.
when they've made them digitized.
I don't think that's an argument for not improving the technology to the point where you can't tell the difference. I think
no.
Well, put it this way: we're going to see Star Wars out on Blu-ray very shortly. That's going to show all the lines and creases around the corner. That'll be you'll be in your element there, Graham, watching that one.
Well, yes, yeah. I need to get a Blu-ray player for this Bravia.
Get a PlayStation.
Well, there's a thought.
Mm. Well, there is a thought. Yeah,
and live at 123 Hack Street.
It'll only play Region 4 DVDs, though.
Yeah, it will.
PlayStation.
Who plays DVDs on a PlayStation anyway?
Yeah, Blu-rays.
Yeah.
The LA Noir, though, having just picked up on what you just said, then Adam, it
to
does.
Back to
it
what
delivers.
We're supposed to be talking about.
Sorry, yeah, it delivers on all points. I think there's not just prettiness for prettiness' sake. It's backed up by good
yeah,
plot.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
In really engaging story. It's actually like sort of an overarching story as well as the little stories you go along your way. And it really sucks you in. It's fantastic. I'm actually looking forward to playing more.
Cool.
And finishing it. And
any other little gems you have for us this week in the computer side of things?
No, I've been ravenously playing that all week and a bit of Minecraft as well, but I'm always playing Minecraft behind the scenes of everything. So that's much of a muchness, the Minecraft thing. I can't really talk much about it on radio because it's just...
It's a visual thing.
It's Lego with monsters that go kaboom.
Yeah. I've seen you play it out here in the green room.
Yeah,
it's very funny. Oh, look at that green thing sneaking up behind me.
Yeah.
And it's not someone
it's
you're thinking of. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Tech Talk Radio back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Adobe.
Yeah, it's a feature, but it's a feature that has an unintended consequence.
No.
I
can't do 70 meg right now.
Do you use Mobile Me?
No.
Yeah, for the promo, what sound would that be?
Sort of like a that sort of a noise.
Really?
Well, that's a fair question.
It is a fair question.
They won't go in the promo. I was quite confident of that.
Kids thought it was great too.
They are.
They're big, they make a lot of noise, and they smell.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
And the great thing about having Adam in on a night like tonight is he's brought in these most amazing Turkish delights.
They're so good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Haven't
had Turkish delight like that for a long, long time.
Absolutely. It's just, yep.
Anyway, so thank you, Mrs. Adam. Is that is that Mrs. who we should thank?
The big A.
Yes, Mrs. Adam.
Oh, it's probably the little A, actually. And he's the big A's in here with us. absolutely wonderful. So thank you very much. Now, onward, another thing. You found a YouTube thing you're going to put on the forum.
I did. I just looked on YouTube, the technology behind the motion scan technology in LA Noir. I'm going to pop on the forum because it's quite an interesting watch.
It's got me intrigued, actually.
Yeah.
I don't have an Xbox. Is it available on other platforms?
Yeah, PlayStation. Ah, yeah,
okay.
PlayStation
so have
as well.
A look, have a look tomorrow, guys, at forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
Indeed.
And it should be there by then.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, I'll do it tonight.
Fantastic.
All right. Before we get to the odd spot gadget and all those sort of good things that we tend to do, a couple of things probably need to mention. Twitter has basically announced that it will be drilling down on third-party app permissions. You know, these are these, you put an app on your thing and it'll grant access to all and sundry of your devices, things like that. Well, apparently, as of the other day, they're taking away the automatic OAuth access to direct messaging apps, which means that you have to give approval to access direct messaging. So you should, theoretically, you shouldn't get spam, because obviously that's probably why they've done that. So, and apps that no longer need it have been denied that access. So they've gone through and done a bit of housekeeping. So well done, Twitter.
San Franciscans.
Yeah, yeah.
Housekeeping.
Now, next week on Tech Talk Radio, we have Paul Buchanan coming in. Now, Paul Buchanan is a guru at the PayPal technological side of things. So we'll hopefully find a little bit about how PayPal's embracing the future with things like near-field payment systems and stuff like that. So that's going to be a good listen next week. That's Paul Buchanan joining us on the show. And moving on to Woolworths, because Woolies is embracing the contactless payment system.
Yeah,
you guys, you go down to your local, I think, who's the people that near me that I use all the time is Bunnings.
Yeah.
Bunnings have got the contact payment system, and the girls at the checkouts and the guys still haven't quite fathomed it out, because you sit there with like a right prat and they go, you just wave your card across and they go, oh, hang on a minute. They've got to tap in the things on their little keyboard and stuff like that.
You've got to wait for the price to come up on the little thing.
Yeah, because it says welcome on the machine, but it's really good, the contactless payment.
You shouldn't put your card up to it until the price comes up to make sure that they're charging you the right price that you think they are.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a good tip for young players. Yeah. I'll bear that in mind.
Well, so I believe. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet either. I'm so frustrated.
Okay. JB Hi-Fi is one of the other places that have the contactless payment system, and now Woolies is going to do it. But the question that I ask, and I think we mentioned it on Dr. Ron last week, but does that mean that, you know, near-field devices such as your phone, because the phone's potentially going to have these little identification devices in there, and Apple one day become a bank when they put their RF devices in their new glass-curved iPhone 5 when it comes out. Does that mean that you want to guard your phone like you guard your wallet at the moment? Because a lot of people are very haphazard with phones at the moment. I know my wife is. You know, you can find them in all sorts of strange places.
Yeah, on the roof of your car while you're driving home.
That's the one.
Well, if mine was a throw-me-down, I probably wouldn't treat it with much respect either.
There you go.
Buy her own brand new spanking phone. She might look after it.
I've offered her to another
one. You're welcome.
She goes, no.
No. That's my inverse glasses theory.
Yeah.
Didn't you talk about that last week, or was it somewhere else?
The inverse glasses theory.
Yeah. My sunglasses theory.
Yeah.
So anyway, near-field technology is obviously here to stay, so we're going to chat to PayPal about that next week and see what they've got in store. Because I must admit, as a consumer, I like what they offer. I don't have to put my credit card number in the system when I'm buying online. I just put my email address in and my password, which is quite handy, and they look after everything. But as a consumer, I think they sting a little bit harder than what the merchant fees are with credit cards and things like that. Anyway,
yeah, you've got to keep an eye on them.
You get a tally here and a nibble there, and it all adds up at the end of the day.
But so, no, this contactless technology stuff, I've been looking forward to it for a long time. I had a look on the web. 2007, I think it was, that the NAB started rolling out the consoles to their merchants. Yeah. But they started at not just the trial, but they were actually rolling out the contactless terminals to all their merchants. And at that point, they weren't even issuing any cards with the technology built in. And none of the others were either. There was only one very tiny trial of actually issuing the cards. So the consoles and the terminals that are used with it have been out there for a long, long time, and we're finally starting to get the cards. So I know that my bank is saying that next time my Visa card renews, which fortunately is only in a couple of months, will have the Visa PayWave built into it. So
there's talk of Apple wanting to use their own system rather than someone else's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
Which, because their ultimate aim is to not have...
Could be a bank.
Is to not sell things in dollars, but to sell things in Apple dollars.
But their ultimate aim is also to screw over the banks the same way they screwed over the music industry. We now have your customers, suck it.
Yeah.
Because they've got a huge database when you think about it, not
they've
just
got the
a local
system already in place. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to consumers because you've already got your iTunes account. Why not put other things through it as well?
And
yeah.
then they'll want their 30% taste of the gig.
Yep. Yeah. That's not the consumer's problem.
No. Only the developers.
No.
And the people who are doing it.
It's going to be interesting to see where Apple sits in 10 years' time if you had the crystal ball and their devices, their hardware
rolling
out.
I've just been asked to write a story like that.
Really?
Yeah. Look, good luck, my friend. 5 or 10 years ahead. And I'm like, dude, we're talking sci-fi here.
Can't even do 6 months ahead these days, let alone that far down the track. So, yeah, Woolies is about to roll it out, which I think is going to be very good. The technology was always meant to be for low-level or small payments.
Micropayments. Yep.
Micropayments. Well, is $100 a micropayment?
No, we'll be in 30 years. Say so.
No,
micropayments are payments that are so small that the transaction fee is worth more than the transaction.
Wasn't there,
yeah, it's like
it's
buying
like
the paper or coffee or something.
$35 and under was one of them?
Maybe.
For one of these
I don't
things?
Know. It depends on how much your transaction costs.
Oh, no, that's Coles not needing a PIN or a sign, I think.
Yeah, McDonald's is like that too. Yeah. McDonald's, you can stick your card in for less than a certain amount of money after... touch the thing.
Yeah, except half the operators don't know when you have to explain to them their own policies because they're morons.
You know what I hate?
Don't
what
shop
I really
at those
hate?
Outlets.
When they say check savings or credit
I'll never
on your key card.
McDonald's again and I'll have his hamburger spat in.
There's no credit on there, woman. That drives me
nuts. There was about three conversations there. What did you say?
I said it really drives me nuts when they say check savings or credit when there's it's your key card. There's no credit on it.
That's just a reflex, though. That's just what they say.
Idiots say that. I work retail. I never said that.
The other thing that really, really annoys
and
me.
And Lena's never going to buy a dress again that hasn't been spat on.
Were you a checkout chick?
I like people who
work behind the
counter.
No, I wasn't a checkout chick. No, I work clothes retail.
Clothes?
Yep.
You're in the rag trade?
Yep. Oh. A little bit for a few years.
The other thing that really annoys me, and this comes back to keeping your data secure you were talking about before, is when you pull your card out of the wallet and instead of handing you the terminal to swipe the card, the operator reaches to take your card from you. No, do not take my card from me. I will swipe it through the terminal.
Ooh.
And then there's a fight to see who presses credit or check or savings.
Yep.
I wish all the machines were the same as well.
What I want to know is why some people like say minimum transaction on your
because
debit
card.
Because
they get charged the merchant fee.
Yeah, but still, is it a flat rate, is it? Is that how that works? Rather than a percentage, like 2% of $3, it's
think,
not much, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think for some of them, they're paying a flat rate, so once you get under a certain amount, it's costing them more than it's worth.
There
I see. You go.
Well, there's always a reason.
This whole business of card security is just a big... Now, don't let your credit cards out of your sight, because it only takes a half a second. I've had the machines you just connect it to an ordinary PC, it just goes in through the USB or serial port, swipe the card through, it only takes a fraction of a second if your card's out of your sight to scan the number off it.
Here's a question for you, just a quick one. Someone who worked behind a bar was trying to tell me once that they were having trouble with people having their cards, the details of their cards stolen.
For a tab or something.
And she explained to me that they were using, people were sitting in the bar with the wireless devices and scanning people's cards from a distance.
Ooh.
And I said, the near field ones. And she said, no, just any credit card with a chip on it.
You can't do it.
I asked her a few more questions. I know you can't do it, but I asked her a few more questions about it just because it's always interesting for me to know what other people's thinking happening, whether or not it's right. And I was there with two mates who were waiting for me to tell her that she's an idiot. And I didn't. I just asked her a few more questions about it. And when we walked away, my friend said, we were waiting for you to tell her she's an idiot. And I said, I have a policy of not telling people who are preparing my food that they're idiots.
It's a good policy. Very good policy.
There's probably logic in that.
This woman was convinced that any credit card with a chip on it doesn't have to be near field. The details could be scanned while it was in your pocket from across the room using a computer and a wireless device.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
now,
the
I bet
case.
The, I bet the same establishment had a open box behind the bar just...
with the tab cards.
Yep, with a whole heap of people's credit cards in it for people that were,
regulars.
Yep.
And then couldn't figure out how it happened.
How are these card details getting leaked? Yeah, well, someone's just going through the box after hours and writing it down. Simple as that. It's and the simple explanation is the right one, guys. That's
Occam's razor.
It really is.
It's Graham's razor.
It's a good way for identity theft, really, isn't it? You've got a credit card details there or something like that.
Yeah.
Just build the picture online.
No, it's absolutely essential. I mean, I had this happen to me at the at a drive through at a fast food place because
Swiped your card.
Yeah, the operator took my card to swipe it through the machine. Yeah. The machine didn't work for some reason, and she walked off, taking my card with it.
Yeah,
out of my sight.
So you got out of your car and jumped in through the little window.
I yelled and screamed. I yelled and screamed and said, "Bring that back! Bring that back! Bring me the manager! Get that back here!" And I told a manager that what she'd done was take my card away without permission, and that was not acceptable. And I sat there blocking the drive-through while I rang my bank. With the manager sitting there listening to inform the bank that my card had been out of my sight and had probably been compromised.
Oh, my God. And all I wanted sitting behind you was a burger.
Well, then you can...
And I've got to wait for this.
Well, then you ask the operator, why was I held up?
I need a free burger because that guy took forever.
If you're ever... Yeah, what happened? They used to have it 60 seconds
when they skim your card, you'll never know.
Yeah, no.
So just be careful if you're in behind a white Ford-looking thing.
Station wagon.
Don't tell them what car
Look, there's lots of white Fords out there. Don't you worry about that. Second person's got one.
Yeah.
Either that or it's a Commodore.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lots of those cars out.
Yeah, so don't stress. Don't stress. Relax.
And no one will know it's a 1975 one. Oh! Oops!
What a car that's older than you.
Yep.
Now, one other thing that was in the news today, LinkedIn. Any of you guys use LinkedIn? It's the biggest spamming thing known to mankind.
No. Really? People keep telling me to, but I never have.
People use it to contact me and want to be friends with me on it, but I don't go out of my way to make friends with people on it.
I have the same experience with Facebook.
A little bit of that too.
It's just another social network, which I think we don't need at the moment. But nonetheless, it got floated on the New York Stock Exchange during the course.
It's not a social network, though. It's a work network.
Well, it's work/social.
Business.
It's a professional network is what they describe themselves.
See, this is probably why I don't use it, because I don't.
Because you're not that professional.
That's correct. I'm not that professional.
Slam.
Yeah. Ouch. Good. I saw that one coming.
Straight
didn't
to
I?
The burns unit.
Anyway, shares of the online professional social networking site, as it's been called here in this article, closed at $94.25 US, so that's about $80 Australian. Sorry, we can't say that often, but nonetheless, it's good at the moment. It actually fell the dollar today.
Novelty's still strong.
Correct. I'm looking forward to travelling to the United States next. It'll be good. Get good exchange rate.
Mm.
Probably next year. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yes, the social network closed at $94.25, 109% above their US $45 initial public offering. Are we seeing another bit of a bubble here in tech? Are we going for round two of the tech bubble?
Probably. Some people think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. A friend of mine, Ian Grayson, who writes for Hide Your Opinion, that's a blog that I write for, thinks that it's the sign that things are out of control again.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Because when I first heard this, I thought, this is silly. LinkedIn, like, I could understand it if it was one of the big guys.
LinkedIn is one of the big guys.
Well,
I think you're underestimating
Am
it.
Am I? Okay.
I think you're underestimating it.
I better join
you
up
can't
and spam
put it in the same
it.
Category as Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, because it's a completely different thing for a different reason. Mm-hmm. And if you are a professional in your industry and you're trying to keep in contact with other professionals in your industry, it could be a very valuable tool.
I've heard people say Twitter's for fun, Facebook's for family, and LinkedIn's for work.
Yeah, well, I did actually join it, but it sent out emails to a lot of people, and they're going, "Why are you sending me this email?"
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't find a lot of value out of it. I'm a member of a lot of things because I need to see how they work.
Yeah,
but I can see the value in it for other people.
Mm. Mm.
So, did you give LinkedIn permission to access your address book or something like that?
No, I
never do that stuff.
No. How did it know to email
that's
everybody then?
That's what I want to know.
Well, that'd be a good question to ask.
Oh, so you didn't do it, it did it itself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
So, how did it know who to email?
I don't know, but only a couple of people got it. Like, whether I thought it might have been clever and did something in the background or something like that, but no, I don't know.
I'd be finding out how that happened.
There. Anyway, because I got an email from colleagues that I don't normally email unless I need to. What are you sending me this for? I said, yeah, good. I don't know. Anyway. Internet Explorer 8 and 9 block up to 5 million daily malware attacks. I thought that was quite interesting. So you want a bit of malware protection in your browser, i.e. 8 and 9. Although
is this compared to 6?
Pardon me? What did you say?
Is this compared to 6?
Oh, okay. I thought you had a New Zealand accent there for a moment.
No.
I mean, it's good, but it's not that good.
Yeah, no, it's good, but it's just, I don't know how that compares with anything else. That's an interesting statistic. I think Microsoft are just trying to
banter. Stay relevant.
The only, yeah,
exactly.
Thanks, Lena. The only way to put that in context would be to find out how many malware attacks are blocked by the protection on the Google search results and things like that that also do the same
job for
you.
You need a comparison, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you Google something and it comes up with a malware site, it warns you about that before you click on it.
So. Meaningless figures to try and bring attention to yourself.
Exactly.
It's the description of half the press releases I receive every day.
Needs to be put in context.
Speaking of meaningless things, Telstra insurance covers pays for thieves' internet use. Did you know? Because if Telstra doesn't get you, the thieves will.
What about when Telstra tries to rob you?
Correct.
Insurance cover that.
Yeah. Does your insurance cover your broadband usage when you roam or something like that? Yeah. Telstra will cover smartphone users whose devices are lost or stolen for up to $800. So that's a couple of meg of unauthorized calls or internet use.
Good goal.
Through an insurance product launched last week. The Premium Care mobile insurance product, underwritten by CGU, users of smartphones contracted to Telstra postpaid plans for less than 6 months could take up the insurance for $14.95. Longer than that.
$14.95 a month?
Yeah, in case of...
Whoa. That's outrageous.
Oh, that's a lot.
I know, it's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yep.
Foxtel's cheaper than that.
And how much does it cover you for?
$800.
Foxtel's not cheaper than that.
In the base package?
No, the base package of Foxtel's $44 a month.
Oh, ow.
And you don't get any sport with it, do you?
The base
I was thinking Xbox Foxtel is like $20
Xbox
a month.
Foxtel is $20 because I'm testing that at the moment. That's $20 a month, but you don't get as many. You only get 11 channels.
Ooh.
For $44 a month on Foxtel, you get, 30-something channels. But the Foxtel ones, they're cheaper, but there's a lot less channels in each package.
Mm, so interesting. I take it back.
Quick adding up, in 4.5 years, you've spent your $800. So how often do you have your phone stolen and the thief uses the data?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like good value for me. The $15 away somewhere, and then after the 4 years, use it to buy
It's a bit like what we were discussing earlier about the fact that they get you to answer a call when you're not there and they get you that extra dollar 15 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
no,
that's not good value at all.
My bank was doing that. They were charging me extra insurance for if I had to pay out my credit card or something like that. And I didn't realize I was paying it. I do not remember signing anything saying that I wanted it. But they were charging me a percentage of what I spent each month as insurance for if the card got stolen or something. When I figured it out, I said, no, I don't want to pay it. And I thought I was after going to have to fight with them. And they said, yeah, all right. But I'm sure I never asked for it. Paid it for six months. Was not happy when I figured it out.
Hide it in the 10,000 pages of fine print. This is
TikTok. That's exactly, yeah.
Oddspot Gadget website coming up after this.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week.
This is a new experience, agreeing with
Senator
Conroy.
It's hard, isn't it? And
Julia.
The more they lock it down, the more people will work around it.
Is it?
I don't know.
You know something I don't know?
No, I don't. I just tried to unlock Andrew's phone with my passcode.
If you're going
to
cross the road, look both ways.
Entertaining.
So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs.
Informative.
Look, I agree with you, Graham.
Independent.
I can feel a churn coming on.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I mentioned the word Optus, and I think you've thrown petrol over them.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Okay, this week's Gadget of the Week is the Livescribe Smart Pen, which basically lets you write stuff with a real pen, but then it gets copied over as a computer file as well. They've just upgraded it so it now works with Facebook, Google Docs, and Evernote as well. So you can be writing stuff on a notepad, and then you do a little scribble and write Google Docs on the page, and then what you write next automatically gets copied into your Google Docs account.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Also got an audio recorder built into it as well, so you can take audio, like record a lecture and write stuff down at the same time, and then when you play it all back later, you can sync it all up so you can see where the two match.
That's fantastic.
They're awesome. Very cool. I played with one a few years ago and I was very impressed.
Everything from journalistic through to being schools through to being uni medical.
If I was at uni again, I'd get one of these.
But there's a problem, Adam. There's a problem. I haven't actually written anything with a real pen since
for
I left school
time.
In the late 1980s. I can type much better than I can write.
No, I can't.
Yeah, oh, I can dear. Actually.
All right, so there you go. That's the Tech Talk Radio Gadget of the Week. What's the Livescribe pen?
The Livescribe Smart
Pen. Sorry, I said Livescribe by mistake.
Livescribe?
L-I-V-E.
And they're about $99 US. So,
yeah they were $250 here a few years ago. They might be cheaper now.
Next week, you'll pick them up on eBay for next to the song. That's good. Thanks.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
The website of the week this week is a funny one. It's called failblog.org. Nice. FAILBLG.org.
It explains the Darwin Awards in one foul yeah. video.
It's from the same stable of websites as Icon Has Cheeseburger and all those other ones.
What? Icon Has Cheeseburger?
Haven't you seen Lolcats?
Where have you been?
Yeah.
Sorry, these, I'm living under a rock.
Icon Has Cheeseburger will have to be next week's website of the week. Yeah, failblog.org is basically documentations of silly things happening in the world.
Epic fails.
So, I mean, the classic one that I've fit on the front page at the moment is a pair of scissors with packaging that shows you trying to have opening the packet requiring a pair of scissors. So fail.
So the website again?
failblog.org. Woo-hoo!
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
Now this is my one because I had a great session during the week trying to find something which would automate SMSs. Have you ever had that need to have a It's like your wake-up call in your alarm clock.
An army drill.
Yeah, so when you go to bed at 2 in the morning, you set it to SMS the boss at 9 o'clock, say, I'm at the office. Where are you? I'm going home now.
A million and one applications for this. I was thinking of the other day, like, you know when someone says, oh, send me a text to remind me.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And like, classic example with us, send me a text to remind me. So, okay, I'll set it in and I'll program it automatically to send you a text to remind you.
That would be fantastic.
And go,
yeah.
How did that work? Well, this will do it for you. It's called SMS Schedule. It's for Android only. I haven't seen it on the App Store or anything like that. It's a free download from the Android shop, and I've used it a couple of times now, and it's been spot on with its delivery time. And works a treat, and the SMSs get delivered, except to the iPhone on the kitchen bench. Doesn't quite make it there. But other than that, it makes it to anyone else's service around the town. So if you've got an Android and you want to send, like, use it for sending a reminder to your happy birthday to your beloved, if you're that way inclined. Or the wedding anniversary. Now, there's a thought,
nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can program
That's using it for evil.
You can program it for years in advance. Don't you think?
No.
It's not evil.
Like, I don't see why that's evil.
That's using it for evil. You should remember those dates.
Using it for good purposes.
No.
Yep. Well, I got the date wrong on the DVD cover.
Look, if we can have technology to help...
should be on fail blog.
Yes.
If we can have technology to help us like things, surely we can have technology to help us remember things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so there you go. There's the gadget of the week. Gadget? No, it's not. It's the app of the week.
That's
SMS
app of the week.
Scheduler. See, we're all having to work tonight because normally Dr. Ron does this.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ah, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Japanese car manufacturer Toyota. You'll notice I avoided the journalist speak in the actual article here that says Japanese auto giant.
But you made a point of it anyway.
It's a good spin
be quick.
Shield.
They've decided to connect their cars to social networking.
Yeah. So the dumbest thing. This should be on the fail blog.
This is
won't
fantastic. So they're using Salesforce.com, which is a similar thing to Twitter. Social networking, and basically the car can connect to that, and it can contact its owner for things like the battery going flat, or it needs a service.
Help! Service me!
Let me out! You've left your children in the car.
In the
Check
case
the
of
tires.
Electric cars, to talk about when it should be connected to the power to get best use for off-peak power and all those sorts of things. So and can also
I'm thirsty.
And it can also automatically contact the dealer for certain things.
Are we there yet?
Are we there? Perfect one. Absolutely.
So yes, if you want to be friends with your car, then you might want to buy a Toyota from as if they haven't got enough to do putting their company back together after the
Correct.
Tsunami. They're connecting
it's
their
Facebook
cars
statement.
To
I can't stop. I can't
to,
stop.
Social networking. So oh, there you go, Andrew.
And that is the show for the evening. We're running a tad over, but that's, yes. Thank you, Adam, for coming across. Thanks to the Big A for doing the beautiful little numbers.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
The Turkish delights have been absolutely fantastic. Next week, we're going to be talking PayPal and all their new banking sort of bits and pieces. So be sure to join us there and then on the same channel that you're currently listening to us now, or the iPod, iGadget, Android device. We could go on forever thinking about what people are listening to us. And, all that sort of stuff.
Any of the hundreds of ways.
Correct. And so until next week, it's bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellist Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Guest panellist is Justin Dunlop. Expert opinion by Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and the world that rebroadcast the show. And a reminder that Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. And don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk chat, and solve your tech issues in the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws, and may not be rebroadcast without approval.